Rusos Parliament, the Committee of Portugal
as an acting chairperson, so that the meeting can continue. The regular committee secretary also, Dineo Martins, has got a family emergency, so she will be arriving. I would like to call for the nomination of an acting chairperson. Sir?
My name is Abram. I am proposing that the whip of the committee take over as chairperson for the duration of this meeting. It's Comrade Margaret Flora.
Thank you. Are there any further nominations? In the absence of any further nominations, Ms. Twala, please take over the chair. Thank you.
When I look at the time is 9:15. We were supposed to start the meeting at 9:00. Without wasting any time, Forest and Fisheries is meeting today in order to get the briefing from the department. For the department to give an account on the fourth quarter expenditure and performance report of the year ending on the 31st March 2011. Therefore, I shall request the department to without wasting time, to give us this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members and colleagues. Department. First of all, I would need to apologize for the Director General who couldn't make it today as he is out of the country on official business. So, but with me here, I've got a team from the department, quite a huge team. I'm not sure whether if we introduce each and every one of them, whether that would eat into your time. But my name is Sipho Ntombela. Maybe I need to identify a few key individuals in the team. My name is Sipho Ntombela. I'm acting Deputy Director General Corporate Services. On my right here is Mr. Peter Tavete, who is known to you, who was once an acting Director General. He is now assisting us with stakeholder relations, communications, and legal services.
He's no longer on the Hollywood stage.
And then next to me, I have got Mr. Johan Fletcher, who is acting as CFO in the absence of our. think in the absence of the BBC acting in the food security and reform program, our country will be further. Maybe the whole will just take over.
Supporting the DBS office. And this is also our main presidential office of the department.
And then behind us is Mr. Roy Fortin, who is the CFO for Fisher. And he reports to our CFO head office. Then, honorable members and chair, come back to our report. We have submitted a very comprehensive report that deals with the period that we are looking at. And on top of the report, we have prepared a summary presentation which picks on the highlights of the report. What we are going to do is we are going to present the performance report and then followed by the report on financials, which Mr. Fenter will do for us. The presentation, I'll do the first part and Mr. Fenter will do the second part. The part that I'll do will deal with the overview, the highlights of key achievements, challenges, conclusion, and the way forward. If we get to the overview, we are presenting the report for the fourth quarter for 2010-11, which is against the plan deliverables as they appear on part 5 of the threat plan. We will focus on the progress that has been made and towards meeting those targets, and also talk about remedial actions where those are required. As you would know, that the department has undergone a redesign following the transfer of the fisheries and forestry function to the ministry. The branch comprises, the department comprises of 7 branches or programs. And what is happening is that there is misalignment between the functional branches and the program structure and the budget structure, you know, the financial program structure. But we have tried to work so that there is harmony. There is administration, we are going to cover that. There is policy planning, M&E. There's the branch economic development, trade and marketing. There's food security and agrarian reform. There's the branch agriculture production, health and food safety. And then the last but one is forestry and resources management. And the last one is marine fisheries and coastal management. So that is how we are going to report on our program. But what would happen is that as we have moved into this financial year, the program structure and the organizational structure are now aligned. But for purposes of reporting through the transitional year, we find that there is some misalignment. I think that has been explained to the committee before. Getting to the highlights of key achievements, we are going to go.
Sorry, Chairperson, I just need to get something. Can I address you,
Chair? We have a standard arrangement that the department would timeously send us the documents that are relevant to a particular meeting. Most of us have seen these documents only yesterday, some of us this morning. All I'm saying, Chairperson, is that the department must keep to arrangements that have been made in the past. That we get these documents at least about 10 days in advance. This is unacceptable where we have to come to a meeting and find that that's almost the first time that we've seen the documents. So, Chairperson, it's a spot of bother for me. I may not be able to make the sort of contribution that I wish to. Because, you know, we like to do our research, we like to check out things, and we do not get that opportunity because the documents only reach us today. I don't know, other members can speak for themselves, but as far as I'm concerned, these things only reach us this morning. But as you are aware, Mondays we are not yet. I don't know when were the documents sent through. Thank you.
If I was maybe to allow some two people to comment on this.
Chairperson, yes, it is indeed so. I mean, when I left on Thursday, I always cleaned my inbox, and it wasn't there, was nothing. And as you know, a lot of people fly out. I'm fortunate I'm in the Western Cape, but still I can't drive into Cape Town Friday or Monday morning just to see if it's in or not. And over the weekend, obviously, you know, how does it get delivered? And on Monday, people fly in on the evening, or, you know, come here in the morning. So I also received mine only now.
Thanks, sir. I reserved it this morning.
I think this concern from the members is very crucial. It is very true that we did make this request from time immemorial, that at least we should get the report 10 days or at least a week before. We all know that on Wednesday it was a public holiday. Members left. When was the report given to us, if we may ask?
Mashaba.
Thank you, Chair. I think the report was delivered to the members on Wednesday.
Thank you, Dr. Mashab. As I'm saying, Wednesday was a public holiday.
No,
Thursday, yes. Members had already left on Wednesday, some of them. And Monday is the constituency day. As you hear, the members are saying they only saw the report for the first time. Now, this makes things difficult now for the engagement that the members would have loved to make. I think this should be taken on a very serious note, because now, as we all know, that our duty is to do the oversight. If now the department doesn't cooperate in order for us to do our work in a manner that is expected, I don't think we should take this light.
Were you saying something? No, Chair, I take note. Dr. Mashaba says that it was delivered to members on Wednesday. Now, I left quite late on Wednesday. Up to the time that I left Wednesday evening, there was nothing in my pigeonhole. So I would think that what Dr. Mashaba should have been saying is that it was sent here on Wednesday. Not that it was delivered to us. It wasn't. I was one of the last people to leave here Wednesday evening, and there was nothing in my pigeonhole. So, Chairperson, all we're asking for, as you have correctly mentioned, in order for us to engage meaningfully, we need to have these documents at least 10 days beforehand. I mean, the department knew well in advance it was going to come. It should have seen to it that we have the documents in time. I mean, here at least two other members say that the first time they see these documents is today. That makes it very difficult for us, Chairperson. I'm not complaining for nothing. It's a genuine complaint. But thank you, Chair. We may proceed, Chair.
Will you proceed? I think we have noted, all of us, this. We should please continue.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honourable Members. The concern has been noted, and corrective action would have to be taken in that regard. Going back to the report itself, I was on slide number 5, looking at the program administration, which is a support program to the whole department. In respect of the area that deals with human resources management, you would recall that the three broad functions have merged, and therefore there was a need to harmonize the human resource management policies so that the department would work efficiently. And 14 of those HR policies were submitted to the Internal Governance and Operational Policy Committee during the this period. This constituted 90% of the target that was set. Still on administration, the MAFISA retailing institutions disbursed 3,910 loans, and the original target was 2,600, and there was a 50%, over performance there. In other words, we exceeded the target by 50%. In relation to CASP, the target was 2,600 farmers, and a total of 3,473 subsistence farmers were supported by ILITSIMA. And the finance colleagues will talk more about that if there is a need. Around administration, again, this relates to the amalgamation and the integration. The migration of the servers, so that there is one server, there is 100% achievement there. And phases 1 and 2, irrespective of forestry, was also completed. Relating to performance agreement, again, this is an HR matter. Close to 80% of performance agreements for the senior managers were submitted during the quarter. Going to the policy planning, monitoring, and evaluation branch, the M&E reporting framework was approved by the executive committee of the department. It was published, and it's on the departmental intranet as we speak. Still on policy planning, M&E, the strategic operational plan framework was also approved by the executive committee and was also published. The strat plan for the department for the years 11-12 up to 14-15 was tabled in Parliament. The service delivery improvement plan for the department was completed and was published as Annexure 2 in the strat plan for 11-12 to 14-15. Going over to the economic development at the trade and marketing branch, a feasibility report on the establishment of fresh produce and storage facilities for the was completed, and funding proposals were made to the IDC, the Land Bank, the DTI, and the Employment Creation Fund. Furthermore, an agro-logistics model aimed at facilitating the efficient transportation, sorry for that, of forestry and agricultural products was developed. Sorry that for that misspelling there. Still on economic development, trade and marketing, based on preliminary data for the calendar year 2010, 43% of agricultural export was exported to markets other than the EU and SADC. Again, based on these preliminary data for that calendar year, 57% of agricultural exports were exported to the EU and SADC, the two biggest destinations for our products. 39 sustainable rural cooperatives for agriculture, forestry, and fisheries were established during the period under review. To slide 11, next slide, the Agri-BE Fund Memorandum of Agreement between the Department and the Land Bank was signed by both parties, and expectations are that the disbursement of the fund will resume in quarter one of this current financial year, that is the 11-12 financial year. In addition, the department has facilitated a deal in the vineyard industry between the historically disadvantaged entrepreneurs and the present white owner of a wine distillery in Ventersdorp in the Northwest Province. Coming over to the food security and agrarian reform program, the draft policy on food security was completed. The draft zero hunger strategy was also completed, and the implementation plan has also been completed. There is a total of 1,388 projects that have been monitored in the provinces for the period under review. Out of that, then there's a total of 973 youth that have received training in various skills at the colleges of agriculture, and a total of 7,250 youth received training at AgriCita, FoodBev, FIETA, CASP, the Grootfontein Agricultural Development Institute, and the 40 committee workers. 40 committee members were trained, and 38 of those were PDIs.
Sorry, Chairperson. I just want to point out again, Chairperson. You know, this document comes from a department, the Department of State. And I might not be the first and the last person, and us here, the first and the last people to read it. It might be used as a reference document. Now, although Mr. Ntombela mentioned here the spelling mistake, page 9, facilitating the efficient transpiration of forestry and agricultural products was developed. Mr. Ntombela, my problem is that this document is a state document. Although you have apologized for the mistake, haven't you people got a system that before a document leaves your office, that you check out that the spelling is correct, that the message being conveyed is correct? Now let's come to page 12, for example. On page 12, you mention here key achievements. A total of 1,388 have been monitored in the provinces for the period under review. Now to a reader, ordinary reader. A total of 1,388 what? What have been monitored? You see, Chairperson, my problem is that when a document coming from a State Department is not factually correct, then it creates the impression in one's mind that, you know, these are just figures that have just been put in there, and hoping that, you know, nobody will query it, nobody will question it, and it then just goes. And that is wrong, Chairperson. A government document from a department must see that it is factual. A as I say, if you take on page 9, this transpiration, if Mr. Ntombela hadn't mentioned it, I was going to ask now, what did you transpire, the efficient transpiration of forestry? What transpired at forestry? You must not leave any room for anybody to question the veracity of the facts that you put before us. And yet I want to be upfront, I'm questioning it. I don't know this 1388 is supposed to be what? What have been monitored? If I could get clarity on that. Now I'm going to point out these mistakes as I find them, Chair. It is not correct. Thank you.
I know that it is disturbing to, whilst you are reading, find such kind of mistakes. But I will, for the sake of progress, ask the members to note these concerns or clarifications so that after the presentation, it's then that we can raise this. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Chair. As I indicated earlier, that the report that has been quality checked, that is the report, the comprehensive report that is attached to this, that is the main report. What we have here, what I'm going through is just a PowerPoint presentation, which in a way summarizes that report and picks on the highlight. But regarding the question that Honorable Member Abrams has raised, that's a total of 1,388 projects, and I did mention that I should have also indicated that there was an omission there. It's 1,388 projects. Thank you for that. And then with the program on agriculture production, health and food safety, the Garib Aquaculture Facility construction was completed in the Free State. Two feedlot facilities were established at Blowback Local Municipality together with the Limpopo Department of Agriculture and the other one with the Eastern Cape Department of Agriculture. The research solution on wheat production and cultivar were completed and distributed to 6,000 producers. All data from the National Cultivar Evaluation Program in the different production regions were processed and reports were finalized and accepted by the National Cultivar Evaluation Work Group. Deal on agriculture production, health and food safety. The cotton strategy was finalized and endorsed by stakeholders in the cotton industry. And major progress was achieved in terms of reviewing both the grain and food strategies. The pesticides policy was approved by the minister and has been gazetted. Moving on to forestry and resources management, a total of 492 green jobs were created via the forestry livelihood strategy, 292 in KZN and 200 in Limpopo. The next slide, 15. The integrated forest protection strategy was developed and approved by the Forestry Branch Management Committee. A total of 2,414 green jobs were created via the land care program, and they are figures per province that are indicated there. I won't go into them. Then we have a total of 165 commercial farmers on 45,000 hectares of land. 885 smallholders on 20,000 hectares, 295 subsistence farmers on 21,000 hectares adopted best land use practices. Moving on to the fisheries branch, the hake recovery strategy yielded good results and there are definite signs that the stocks are increasing, although at a slower rate. The latest standardized catch per unit showed an overall increase at both the south and west coasts. Some 2.2% of rights holders in the hake sector was investigated, and 5.3% rights holders in the squid sectors as well as 1.3% rice holders in the lion fish sector. There is a slide there that deals with challenges.
Sorry, just for clarity, I don't want to break the speed, but this hake, is it deep water hake or line?
Could I ask maybe the Tim Dile or Mr. Roy Fontaine to?
I think if you talk about how many right shoulders there are, I think you're talking not about deep water hake, because deep water hake, 53 right shoulders representing 2.2% is impossible. There's not so many as far as I know. It's only a couple of big companies, am I right? So this, I surmise that this is, these are line hake, long line hake, what do you call it?
Okay, let the department note this question and then they'll respond later.
Thank you, Chair. We have looked at some constraints, and then mainly from the economic development, trade, and marketing. The first one is that there was limited public and private investment in storage facilities to support holder farmers who experience limited or no access to storage infrastructure in the agricultural and forestry sector. The second one, limited public and private investments in processing support to smallholder farmers who experience, you know, limited or no access to processing facilities. In this sector. So it's just to highlight these challenges, but as we move on, we are dealing with those challenges. Moving over to the slide that does the conclusion, this again.
Before we carry on to the slide that does the conclusion, again, on this slide, Chairperson, you have the logo of the department at the bottom. And you have some words just around it and over it. Increased share of agricultural and forestry products transported through rail. Now again, Chairperson, you know, it's not a neat job. I'm pointing this out because whoever does the final document must see to it that the job is neat. Yeah, you have these words transposed almost on. For example, rail is on the coat of arms. You see, we must just see that our documents are done in a manner where it is beyond reproach. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Then in conclusion, you would recall that the year that we are talking about was one where we were going through the transition. And we don't want to keep saying that, you know, but it had its own challenges in terms of, you know, the work that we are doing. The other challenge was that the current structure in operation was not aligned to part 4 and 5 of the 2010-11 strategic plan, and I explained that in my opening comments. However, the department showed overall major progress towards achieving the set targets. On the way forward, as we have, in fact, this is happening now, the new structure was fully implemented for the with effect from the 1st of April, so all these challenges that I've talked about would be dealt with. And then the planning process for 2011-12 was completed with a more emphasis around contribution to the presidential outcomes 4, 7, and 10. The department is working on aligning and standardizing all monitoring and evaluation responsibilities, including reporting and the verification in the departmental, in the department and provincial departments of agriculture and state-owned enterprises. The department is also working with provincial departments of agriculture to improve quality on performance information. I'll then hand over to Mr. Fenter to do the financials for us. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, just again for clarity, on page 17, in the second column, that's 31.8 MT.
Page?
Now, is that metric tons or million tons?
Page 1.
Page 17.
Yeah, because if it's metric tons, it's really insignificant. If it's millions, it's really a lot. So what is it?
Which paragraph?
It's on the second column, madam. It says the target, 31.8 MT. It looks like metric tons. Is that correct? Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, and good morning to the honorable members. I'll focus on the expenditure for quarter four, the last quarter of the financial year of 10-11, and the benchmark for the quarter spent was 25%. So the first slide reflects the per program against the monthly expenditure for the quarter and the total for the quarter. I'm only going to focus on quarter four, the total spending, as well as the percentage spent against the benchmark. For program one administration, the spending was at 116.5 million. That reflects 24.4%. Program 2, Production and Resources Management, is 106.1 million. That reflects 24%. Program 3, Agricultural Support Services, reflects is 162.3 million. That reflects 9.3%. The underspending here is due to the withholding of funds in terms of DORA relating to CASP, where there was underperformance by provinces, and with National Treasury approval, the funds were withheld and not paid over. Then Program 4, Trade and Agricultural Development, the spending was 11.9 million for the quarter. That's 12.3%. And the other underspending is due to the project of register of smallholder farmers in terms of a farmer register was not completed, and this was also rolled over to the next financial year. The total amount here is 19.5 million. The Food Safety and Biosecurity Program reflects a 31.7% spending. That's due to the combating of the Limpopo, the FMD outbreak, and the finalization of your CSF, classical swine fever, claims that emanated from the previous financial year in the Eastern Cape. Forestry is 173 million, that's a 53%. That is due to a payment to Sunparks that was still due in terms of the budget. And then fisheries, 106 million, that's 55.2%. And this was due to the payment of salaries, which was under budgeted in that program. Now, the total then for the quarter is 792.2 million. That reflects 20% for the quarter. If we go to the next slide, Chair, there we deal with the SCOBA classifications for economic classification. And there the first is your payment of salaries, compensation of employees. That was then for quarter four. A total of 310 million, that's 25.6%. Your goods and services reflects 243 million, that is 56%, and that was due to the Sunparks payment and FMD in Limpopo. Interest and rent on land. This economic classification relates to the interest that we pay on finance leases. That's for photocopier machines and the rental of car vehicles. And then the rent on land is in terms of forestry land that is rented in Limpopo, which we pay the rentals. That was then 955,000 or 69.2%. And then the total transfers on the subsidies, there you can see, Chair, that the total amount paid over was 223 million, that's 11%. And this is due to the funds that was revoked in terms of DORA for CASP. and also for Ilima Letsema. Then the payment for capital assets, that was 14 million, 38%, and that was due to the replacements of motor vehicles, mainly in the forestry branch. So again, the total for quarter four is 792 million on 20%. Then, Madam Chair, what we have done over the quarter reporting, that we prepare a slide for the committee where we compare per program and per economic classification the spending per quarter. Again, I'm just reflecting there that per quarter the benchmark is 25%. There you can see that what was the spending quarter one against quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four per program. And then I'm also going to reflect only on the last quarter. And then the very last column what we have done, as it is the end of the financial year, also reflecting the total figures for 2010-11 with the total percentage spent per program. So in terms of program one, if we look there at program one, you will see that it's in administration. That was on 24%, as already indicated. The total was 95.5%. Then here was the lease payments that we had for forestry accommodation that was not concluded in the financial year. So that's why it's on 95%. That's a total amount of 12.9 million. The building that the department is leasing close to its headquarters to accommodate the forestry branch, leasing, the upgrading work could not be finalized by the Department of Public Works. This amount is also going to be rolled over. Then, Madam Chair, on production resources and management, there the spending for quarter four is 24%, and the total for the program is on 4 to 6.1 million, that's the 96%. And this is due to the withholding of the Dorai Lima Letsema funds and the project of fencing of the Lesotho border for the commercial farmers over there. It's 2.9 million. That was also not completed and will be rolled over. Your program on agricultural support services, the total there is 1.7 billion. This is the program where CASPIs, and in terms of this one, we have got the 33.6 million not spent because of the withholding of the funds for CASP. That is the spending on 98.1%. On program four, there we have already indicated quarter four, it was on 12.3%, and that also had an effect on the total spending of 78.8% due to the farmer register project not completed. To register smallholder farmers, and this project is carried over in the current financial year. On the next program, Madam Chair, it's food safety and biosecurity. There the spending was on 31%, as reflected. This was due to the FMD outbreak mainly, and the classical swine fever completion of payment of the claims for the CSF in Eastern Cape. And then the forestry branch, the percentage spent for quarter four was 53%. The total 5.5 million or 98%. And then in fisheries, remember with fisheries, we only pay the salaries on the budget of the department. The operation money is paid over to the public entity, to the MLRF, and it's not reflected in the department's books, though the transfer payments is reflected. So for the department then, we have a total of 3.8 billion against a budget of 3.9 billion. That reflects 97.4%, Madam Chair, and that then gives an underspending of 103.2 million or 2.6%. And as I've said, it's mainly due to the withholding of the DORA funding. If necessary, I can give more information on that. Next slide, we have got then the per economic classification. Just to give the total figures, not to go to all the through all the figures again, Madam Chair. Compensation of employees is 99.8%. Goods and services, 93.4%. The interest and rent on land, 86.6%. The total transfers and subsidies, 97.4%.
The payment for capital assets 92.2%, so the total again for the department reflects then a 97.4%. Or for the quarter, 20%. I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fender. I find it very, very difficult the way you have structured this report, because now you have given us these documents where only figures are just put in percentages. The explanation to this understanding is not there. It's only given by mouth. Now, after we have just read through so far, how is the committee going now to interact? Because there's nothing written. At least if at the bottom you could say what you have just said verbally, then so that when we interact, we also refer. That would have been better for us. Documents came late. The report, there are two different reports now that are presented to us, where it is difficult to tally the figures, the budget, and the service delivery. Because if it was one report that says, that indicates the service delivery, the budget, and then whether the target was met, and then at the bottom, the explanation is given. Why is the two doesn't tally? Well, I'll ask the members to interact on the report.
Chairperson, I want to thank the presenters for the presentation. I must say, Chairperson, that you know the information provided an excellent lot of detail. And therefore, I'm going to have a number of questions. Firstly, Chairperson, I think we need to, and I hope that the officials will start jotting down the questions. Up to now, as I sit here, I have no clear definition of what a smallholder farmer is and what a subsistence farmer is. So we need to have a clear definition of what these people are. Or I can add on another category, for example, a developing farmer. Who is a developing farmer? Who is a smallholder? And who is a subsistence farmer? So that we can understand how the department views these various terms, so that we can engage more meaningfully. Then, Chairperson, you know, we are told, yeah, that so much has been allocated for CASP and been so many beneficiaries, and Ilima Lechima, this is what has happened in terms of expenditure. I would like to find out, what is Ilima Lechima? How does the department view Ilima Lechima? What category of person qualifies for assistance in terms of Ilima Lechima? And along with Ilima Lechima, I also need to find out, Chairperson, whether in the year under review, the quarter or the year under review, whether the recipients of assistance in terms of Ilima Lechima had received that assistance on time. Let me just unpack what do I mean by on time. We've had reports that certain people were given, for example, seed and fertilizer but that was delivered in March this year. Now, within the reporting period, but in March. Now, I promise you, Chairperson, that in the summer rainfall area, you may just as well not give a person anything if you want to give it to them in March. Because if your seed is not already in the ground by October, November, then you're in trouble. You won't see a crop. So I would like to know whether the assistance got to them on time.
So I think those three questions, Mr. Abraham.
You want to make it three, Chair? Can't I throw in one more, Chair? I don't want to abuse your... Yes. Chairperson, during the reporting period, there have been floods in the country. And even after the reporting period, but I'm talking now of the reporting period. And we visited some of these flood-ravaged areas. And one understood that agriculture, per se, will be assisted. I would like to know whether any assistance was given to the farmers that were affected by the floods, and if assistance was given, we would like the department to provide us with details as to who were the recipients of that assistance and what was the level of that assistance. Because you see, Chair, one must always remember one thing, and that is that we heard reports, press and what have you, that assistance for flood damage will only be given to emerging farmers. Perhaps I should put in another category, Chairperson. What is an emerging farmer? And for how long does a farmer emerge? When does he graduate to something else? But it would be good to know, in addition to smallholder and subsistence. But Jefferson, we were told that only emerging farmers will be getting assistance. Now we are shooting ourselves in the foot. Because if the commercial farmer who has perhaps lost infrastructure as a result of the flooding does not get any assistance to get his infrastructure back in place, and that farmer is an employer of people, he will then have to get rid of his people. So we are creating a bigger problem for ourselves, because you'll have more people standing in the queue for welfare grants and for assistance, because we did not help the commercial farmer to see that he remains in business and remains employing people. So I would like to know exactly what sort of assistance was given in terms of flood relief. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Ndada Dudoy and then Mama Nyalunga, in that order. Oh. Before Mr. Dudoy. Okay, Mr.
Sorry, Chair, but I thought you put my name down on the list. Yes, Chair, I think I totally agree with what was said previously, and we're not going to repeat it. I think obviously this report is very touches on a lot of issues, very widely structured, and I think it needs a little bit more explanation. And with the time that we've got available, I really think it's going to be difficult. And I would like to start where Honourable Abrams has finished on the floods. I would thought that in this report we would also get more highlighted of the really issues that we were facing in the agricultural sector over the past 6 months. That includes the floods, but I would like to also stress that we've never heard from the department on the foot and mouth situation. What is the situation currently? What is our status? What has happened to curb the spreading of it? And what is the OIE's view on our export status? Because this is really very, very serious. I think we have actually closed our borders to all agricultural products, game products, I can name it. And it seems to us sitting here in the portfolio committee that we must get the information from the press and from our role players on the ground, which I don't accept is correct. I think we should have been right from the front, been included in giving the information as it comes up, and to be able to also try and help and see where we can improve on it. We've never heard anything on the foot and mouth. The avian flu is a huge outbreak. We are losing over 100 million rands per month on exports of the ostrich parrot. We've never heard anything from the department. It's not included in the reporting system. We've heard something as far as the financial statement is concerned, that there was some money available for it. But I think I must really put my concern about it, that we haven't really got some feedback. Timeously feedback. If we're sitting in July, I mean, the food and mouth has started in December. The avian flu has just started shortly afterwards, and the floods has also been in January. So this is really unacceptable that we're not included. Chair, I would also, I think Honourable Abrams has touched on the MAFISA and the other programs. It's nice to have a look at it and say, look, we've put loans out to 3,950 on 10 people, and so on. And we've the cash program, we've targeted 2,600 farmers. But you know, Chair, the proof of the pudding is in what is the result. What are we getting back for it? In the first place, on as far as MAFISA is concerned, what are the repayment rates? Are we getting are these funds being repaid because it is loans? We must know. What is the situation? Oh, are we just giving the money away and not worrying about it coming back? Is there oversight done with those projects where money is loaned to people? Do we actually know that we're producing something? And then also on the CASP and the ILIMA, LETSEMA projects, you know, and I must tell the department, I'm getting daily feedbacks from the ground on the wasteful expenditure on these two programs. If I must tell you the stories that happens on the ground, you'll be amazed. And what worries me is that the department comes and sits here and they tell us that we've got so many farmers. What happened to the inputs that was given to those people? I mean, Abrams has said it was late. In my recording, that people are coming back to tell me there's no production going on those farms where the inputs are given. Those inputs are sold. They are given away, or they... I don't know what they do with it. I've got a service provider that came to me to say that he was maybe contracted to plant to people with the inputs that was given to them. But when eventually he came to the farm, there was nothing left to plant. So they instructed him to plant 100 hectares with no seed just about. They just said it must be planted so we can claim back. I've got other reports to say that people... fictitiously put invoices out of seeds that they buy from people. For instance, on dry beans, it costs about 32,000 rands a ton. If you buy from a farmer that cleans his dry seeds, you can buy it for 8,000 rand. I've got an instance where the farmer sold 50 tons to the department at 8,000 rand and it was claimed at 32,000 rand per ton. I wonder what happened to that money. My concern is really we must start looking at what is the result of the money. We cannot just throw the money out of the window and say we supported so many farmers, but in the end, the result that we can show for this money is lacking. We don't see it. And I really must stress that I have really got so many of these instances. I'll put some questions to the department so they come back in writing to me. Chair, on page 12, I think I've got another question, or page 10. Let me start with page 10. The exports, I can't really make any sense of this situation as far as exports is concerned. I see that we're saying that we have achieved 43% of export, but I think in the beginning our target was about 65%, which we've only achieved, say, 57%. Are we on track as far as that is concerned? Because we are not mentioning what our targets were, and are we sustaining it? And what is the type of products? Where does it go to? We need more information to really say that we are on top of the problem, and we understand what is going on. Sustainable rural cooperatives. You know, I think we've only started to implement these cooperatives a couple of months ago. Where are they? How can they be sustainable after 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months? We need some more information as far as that is also concerned, because that is, to me, if you say that a business is sustainable, it can only really be sustainable after it's shown profits and it's shown that it can survive in the open market. The Agri-Beef memorandum of undertaking between the departments and various institutions to buy into existing businesses. Now, I want to know this Venter's Dorp business, because I don't want to say that I know it's not a viable business, but are they doing enough investigations to see that there is a profitable business where they buy in, that it's not a business that is just run from a backyard or something like that? Because I've got information on this business that is not really what it's supposed to be. So, Chair, I can maybe go on asking a couple of other questions on page 12 as well. I think we don't get enough. Okay. It was pointed out previously. We do not know what this draft food security policy is. Also, the draft zero hunger strategy. It's just given to us that it's been implemented. And then we get some of the information on the tables. I think Honourable Abrams is also stressed on it. But what we need to get is a little bit more information on what these policies are, what is the idea of targeting food security, for instance, and the draft hunger strategy. Because we've asked it before on the hunger strategy. We do not know what this hunger strategy is about. So if I can just then stop with that question, it will be sufficient. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been well covered by a lot of what my colleague has lifted out of this process. So obviously I won't repeat it. Just to say that on this foot and mouth disease, Honourable Bosman has now also aired my concern, but I cannot understand, and this we need this answer today here, right at this table. I cannot understand how a serious outbreak of such a deadly disease cannot be reported to this committee for 6 months. I mean, I want to know. What is the status of the fences around this country? I mean, if the department can't tell us today how many fences, how many kilometers are down, where it is down, is it down only in KwaZulu-Natal, is it down in Limpopo, where is it down, where is the problem, then nothing has been done about it for 6 months. I mean, They must have spoken to the minister, but they haven't spoken to us, so we can't do our oversight over the minister or over them. For 6 months, they've never come to us. Either this is not important in their view, or we are not important in their view. And I take my work seriously, really. So I want to answer on that. And then the other thing that bothers me is, now I've checked this report very, very briefly now. This is 125 pages, really 124 pages, because the last one is just a line or so. And to expect someone to do this in 2 days is actually, or 3 days, is actually a lot of work, because it's just not possible. I mean, we have to get a report like this, and I'm thankful for it, the format of it, because there's an index in the beginning, you can look where you want, you have to page through it. But to study this, or at least go through this in a few days, is not enough. We've got to have something like this 2 weeks before. So this is, to me, this is useless, really. Okay? I'm thankful for the oversight, because it speaks to that, but the detail, the devil is in the detail. So I'm only concerned myself with the point I've raised on the foot and mouth, and the next one is, where in these reports do we have something about provincial oversight? Because there's a lot of money being spent by the provinces.
But I don't see here in the index Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal. I don't see anything here. This should be in here. I mean, this department must be able to monitor and control what's going on at the provincial level. If you don't do that, you're walking like a blind person in the middle of the dark night. I mean, you're doubly blind. So, and then the other thing that bothers me is, what's going on in fisheries? Where's this initial report? Where's the... I think it's a forensic report on MCM. Where is it? The minister has kept it back. She's never come back to us on it. The department is silent about it. We've heard from the public hearings that there's a lot of questions asked around fisheries, but the department does not have there's no in this table of contents. There's nothing that says, look, these are the problems that we have. Here's marine fisheries and coastal management. 100, from 107 to 118, 121. Now, where are the problems? Why don't they bring it to us? I mean, they've taken over MCM now, the fisheries, for such a long time, but it doesn't come to us and say, listen, here's the problem. It's the fourth quarter, and we're still in the dark. We're groping in the dark. How can you do our oversight? Because if you keep your overseer in the dark, what are you doing?
Mama Nyalunga.
Thank you, Chair. My first question will be on page 12, whereby the department claims that 973 youth resist skills training at agricultural college. What kind of skills were these youth are getting? And from which colleges? Could you please give the names of the colleges so that we can know and make some oversight on them? And then my second question, also on page 12, is whereby the department says that 7,250 youth were trained at various sitas and agri-colleges. The list also includes a total of 800 alongside CAS. Can the department explain this as CAS is neither a sector or no agriculture? But a support program, let the department unpack us about this and the number of training as presented in bulletin in bullets at up to 2,957. How did the department come up with this 7,250? My last question is, the department planned for four agricultural colleges to operate as center of rural wealth creation. Can the department explain the meaning of this? And how many agricultural colleges are currently operating as such centers?
Thank you, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, one was hoping for some of the things to be maybe mentioned or been talked about it in this report. Mine, actually, Chairperson, was looking at the fact that the department spent $450 million in buying tractors for to assist the rural people in to do agriculture. But one was hoping, actually, that we would hear how much has been in the form of production or in the areas where these tractors were taken to. That was the concern that the rural people have an arable land that is not utilized. So currently, one was hoping that we would hear whether there is any development as far as the utilization of the tractors is concerned. But to add to that, Chairperson, is the fact that as we are coming from the rural areas, we've seen some of the tractors in some local municipal areas. Some are kept in the government department of agricultural offices. And what one would say is that from what we've seen on the ground is that these tractors are not used in such a way that the people would benefit out of them being there. They were only used in cultivating for certain crops during the season, but only to find that the vast land is still lying unprepared, and the tractors are kept in the offices. If one may hear, why are they so? Are they kept without being used in preparing land for planting? Because you know, in rural areas, vast land have been left and sort of cultivated. The other issue, Chairperson, is that of the alien plants. I'm sure we are all aware. We all know that because of the invasive plants in the rural areas, or even over and above the rural areas, even the protected areas, we have these alien plants, which have resulted in some areas that they have consumed a lot of water, resulting in streams being dried out. So one would be willing to hear what is the department doing with regards to eradication of those alien plants in the areas. I think I'm done, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think for this round, we should now allow the department to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Madam Chair. The questions, most of them were concerns. Some of them were requiring or were asking for more details. Right. What we are going to do in those cases where more detail is required by the committee, then we are going to provide such detail. There is also another type of question where I think it would require that we do a formal briefing on matters to the committee. For example, the zero hunger strategy, I think the sense I got is that we would need to come and brief the committee on the zero hunger strategy. The other one is the departmental response to food and mouth diseases, to flood damages. I think that also may require that we do a formal presentation of briefing to the committee on how the department has responded to those. But it does not prevent us from giving a verbal report now on what has been done. So I would maybe starting with the food and mouth diseases and other, and the avian flu and how we responded to that. Could I ask Dr. Morisani to give a verbal update, but keeping in mind that a formal report, I think that is what the committee is calling for. Dr. Morisani, please.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, honorable members and colleagues. Maybe from the point of view of the questions raised by honorable member Abrams and Bosman and Detroit, the department is very concerned about the impact of foot and mouth disease, particularly on the farmers and then the trade itself. And it also applies to the avian flu situation, particularly the economic impact. Let me start off first with the issue of the fences. We acknowledge that fences are important. At the ITCA Veterinary Working Group, we had received a report from the RPO indicating that the status of the fences, international fences in particular, is not right. But we knew what the causes of some of this undesirable state of the fences was. It was mainly criminal activity that from the department side we found very difficult to control, to an extent that the department had requested that the defense force be involved in the patrol of the fences so that our officials, we got a number of treatment aids, about 300 of them, on a daily basis going through the fences trying to correct whatever breakages that may be there. However, one of our senior veterinarians ended up being shot at, particularly around the Mpumalanga area. And then as a result, the department had been engaging the security forces to, before the outbreaks, before the major outbreaks, to start patrolling the fences so as our officials would be in a position to repair them. However, the KwaZulu-Natal situation, and DG, through you, I want to emphasize, and maybe the portfolio committee members, honorable members, needs to understand this. We cannot attribute the outbreak in KwaZulu-Natal to a weak state of fences. We cannot attribute that. We have proven that scientifically to say that the disease, the outbreak in Natal, is associated with the Kruger National Park to a very large extent. So it is mainly internal movement of animals. We cannot attribute our outbreak, I call it our outbreak now, to the state of disease in Mozambique. We shouldn't do that because we are making a big mistake. We can probably worry about the red line fence that most probably could have kept the disease within the buffer area, the so-called protection area. But also the buffer fence within the country in the Ingwavuma area, the problem has always been that even if the fences are erected, the fences are also being stolen. Of course, we should expect that. But the status of the disease has at this moment, we have vaccinated about 93,000 animals in that area in order to try to bring the disease to clinical endpoint, taking into consideration the fact that we have to conduct a nationwide surveillance in order to be able to reopen our borders for export purposes. But knowing that this is going to take a long time, and with due worry that we know the impact of the disease on trade itself, we started negotiating with neighboring countries to reopen at least some boundaries partially. We because we would like trade to continue going on, because the disease does not only create a serious state inside the country, it also creates a food insecurity situation within the region itself, because we are a mere supplier of milk to the region, we are the mere supplier of meat to the region, so we are very concerned ourselves. The avian flu situation is slightly better in that mainly the region is not that affected, but of course it's the industry that is affected. We have already commenced with a nationwide surveillance from that point of view, from the information that I have. I'm not sure how DG we supposed to inform the portfolio community, because we've got almost a weekly update that we send out to all the stakeholders to inform them of the status in terms of surveillance and what is happening. We believe at this moment that the disease has been brought to clinical endpoint, and we will be commencing very soon with the countrywide surveillance to reopen our borders. But the OIE has informed us that in order to get our status back, we may have to wait for a formal committee to sit, which probably will be early next year. But as a result, in the meantime, we'll reopen negotiations with neighboring countries to accept partially some of the products. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Dr. Morisane, for that. There were also questions that were raised around skills, training, and so on. And could I then ask Mr. Khoboge to respond to those questions, please?
Sorry, Chair. Let me address one other very important issue. And rightfully, I think Honourable Member Bosman observed that there is nothing that has been said about foot and mouth disease and avian flu in the report. If you remember very well, we went back the date of first infection on both diseases. So the diseases, we may be speaking about avian flu starting in February. That is a went back sort of date of first infection. We are hoping that in the next quarter report we'll be covering, because both diseases were actually detected formally towards the end of the last quarter. So we'll be reporting in the first quarter of 2011. But rightfully, it should have been mentioned somewhere within the report. And then the other outbreak that Mr. Fenter mentioned in the expenditure was at the tail end of the outbreak itself. It's an outbreak that happened in the first quarter of 2010, the Limpopo outbreak of foot and mouth. So maybe we should emphasize putting it in the next report so that the honorable members will be updated on the situation. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dr. Morisane. And if there is a need for a more comprehensive report on these areas that he has touched on, the committee would then have to indicate, and then we submit a formal written report regarding avian flu and the foot and mouth disease situation. I was saying that there was a number of questions regarding our report around skills training and training colleges, and I think it also, I'm not sure about mechanization, the tractors. Can you deal with those, Mr. Khoboge? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and DG, Honorable Members. From the Honorable Member, I think the question relates to the training of 973 youth from colleges of agriculture. As a national department, if I may start to respond to this question, we have an oversight responsibility over the 12 colleges of agriculture. We have 12 colleges of agriculture countrywide. The only provinces which do not have colleges of agriculture are Gauteng and Northern Cape, but all others each has a college or two. We monitor what is happening in these colleges. We monitor the quality of training, the type of training that is happening there, the quality of lecturers, the facilities, everything as far as these colleges are concerned. The figure that you see there of 973, these are students that are enrolled in colleges for various training programs in animal production, crop production, entrepreneurship, and the like. Various types of training programs related to agriculture. Most of these students who train in colleges of agriculture ideally should become farmers when they complete. That is the idea behind their training. So, for the period under review, we had this total number of students in these colleges of agriculture trained in various training programs. Honorable member also wanted to know the names of these colleges. I don't know if I should name them, but if you want, I can. In Eastern Cape, we have two colleges of agriculture. They are Tsolo College of Agriculture and Fort Cox. Those two are in the Eastern Cape. And then in KZN, we've got Owen Sithole and Sidara. In the Northwest, we have Potchefstroom College, and we also have Taung. In the Western Cape, we have Elsenburg. In Limpopo, we have Matsivandlela and Dombiselike. And somewhere between Eastern Cape and Northern Cape, but more in the Eastern Cape, we have Grootfontein Agricultural Development Institute. In the Free State, we have Glen College of Agriculture. So those are the 12 colleges of agriculture which we have in the country, spread in terms of the provinces. Then, honorable member, Mpumalanga, yes, you are right, Lowveld College of Agriculture. Thank you very much. Yes. Honorable member also wanted to know about the total of 7,250 young people that were trained. We also have, honorable member, an oversight responsibility as far as the faculties of agriculture are concerned in all universities in South Africa, not just universities but also universities of technology. Wherever there is a faculty of agriculture, we monitor in terms of what is happening. We generate reports in terms of enrollments of students in which subjects, in which courses, in terms of race and gender, you know, and in terms of levels of study, whether it is year one or two. We also produce annual reports in terms of level of graduation, you know, how many do graduate in these various fields. Study fields in agriculture. So we've got this comprehensive report, honorable member, for each year in terms of all the universities, all the technicons in South Africa that are offering study fields in agriculture. So that number represents the students that were registered for various fields of study during the period under review. Then again, honorable member, we've got the CETAs. We also monitor the work of the CETAs. The way we deal with the CETAs, we start off by signing off their skills plans, their annual skills plans. And we monitor their training programs, you know, how they go about in terms of their training. We have got three line function CETAs. It is Agri-CETA, which is mainly focusing on primary, you know, production agriculture and secondary agriculture. We also have food birth, and then we also have the forestry sector. So what actually we have just started with the forestry sector because we have just amalgamated with the forestry section. So what normally happens, they present their skills plans, and then we monitor, we receive their quarterly reports in terms of the training which is happening. So those numbers, Honorable Member, refer to the beneficiaries of training that are offered. But CETAs offer a variety of skills programs in the main. You know, you can think of a whole lot of skills programs that venture creation, field fire, you know, all types of training programs, skills, but they are mainly skills training programs. So those are the figures in terms of beneficiaries of training as offered by the CETAs under the period, during the period under review. The Honorable Member also asked about the colleges operating as centers of rural wealth creation. Honorable Members, with the focus of government on rural development, we are also influencing colleges of agriculture to configure their curricula such that they contribute towards rural development, and they come up with training programs which could help people in rural areas, you know, have skills in terms of how to generate income for themselves. And that is the reason why we say operating as centers of rural creation. When we say operating as centers of rural creation, we actually refer to those colleges which have already incorporated in their curricula, you know, subjects which help rural people, you know, be able to come up with, you know, projects that can generate income for themselves. Yeah, that is what we mean. And as at present, I think we've got only three, as you rightly observed, Honorable. It is SIDARA in KZN, and it is Grootfontein, which is almost in the Eastern Cape, but just on the border between Eastern Cape and Northern Cape, and we also have Elsenburg here in the Western Cape. But we are working very hard, Honorable Members, to influence colleges of agriculture, you know, to be meaningful where they are located. To firstly start off by addressing the human resource development needs where they are located before they can start thinking of, you know, the whole country. They can think of the whole country, but their first responsibility is the area where they are situated. So that is in terms of your question. DG, I think
the mechanization, you can comment.
Thank you, DG. Probably just on two, which is on mechanization and then also on the report itself. And then perhaps also on the oversight on the provinces. Mainly our design of the report, maybe that's why it doesn't answer some of the questions the honorable members are looking for. Maybe perhaps that's why it helps to interrogate the report. Mainly the report is made out of from a format which is the Treasury guidelines. We do the report answering on the Treasury guidelines, on the organizational performance. And that's what pushes the report. That's why the report looks like that. And then some of the things, then there might be an oversight which I'm not coming into through for the honorable members. And then secondly, also on the oversight of monitoring the performance of the provinces. It is our competence as national, but we haven't been doing that because we didn't have the instrument of doing that. Only now on the restructuring, when we've restructured the department, that's when we have a unit which solely looks at the performance of the provincial Department of Agriculture. And then also on the SOE, state-owned entities. But unfortunately, that component hasn't been applying on the quarter four. We are doing on the quarter four, probably on the first quarter of the new year. Then that's when that component then will start reflecting on the report. And then thirdly, on the mechanization, which was asked by Honourable Member Tolikul. There are only two provinces which received a functioning mechanization tractor program.
Why?
Well, honorable member, probably with the protection also from the share. I think that's why. I think that one I will not be able to answer. I think probably also my principals will be able to answer on that one. There are only two provinces. It's Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal. In terms of functioning of the tractor, the tractor program is functioning well, but also in terms of then the production, on what has happened in terms of the production, what changes have happened since then. We're still looking forward because it's only now that we are going to be harvesting and seeing the production in terms of that. But also in terms of also the province of KwaZulu-Natal, which has 200 hectares, tractors, because also we only provided, on the provinces we're going to be providing 85, because also that's a limitation of the financial resources. As national, we're providing 85 tractors. And then the supplement on the other figure, which is in KwaZulu-Natal, since they have 200, the rest they raise themselves. And then also it becomes very difficult to come into a province which has done like that, to look around and see how the tractor distribution has been. We can only have means of monitoring in terms of the numbers of the tractors which we have given ourselves to them, which is 85. But then the program has 200 tractors. But the distribution of the tractors, as it was said also on the last meeting here, when we also came to present on the second court, on the third court, was that the program is fully run by the provinces. KwaZulu-Natal, the program is run through AMACOS. The tractors are distributed through AMACOS. They were given to AMACOS. Some, they might be seen standing at agricultural offices. It's because that's where they can be stored. But they belong to AMACOS. They are run through AMACOS.
Are you sure they don't belong to the AMACOS? Baba
Abram.
Belong to the
AMACOS. Honorable Member Abram, will you speak through the chair, please?
They are distributed through AMACOS. It's only at Mpumalanga where they are distributed by the local municipalities. In the province of KwaZulu-Natal, I think for their smooth running of the program, they decided that it was going to be through AMACOS. Thank you.
Proceeding, there was a question on alien plants. I think Ms. Chindile, you can deal with that one.
Thank you, DG, Chairperson, and Honorable Members. The department is addressing the alien plants. There are two programs. We do have the land care and also the forestry taking part. we have a budget which is allocated through the provinces to deal with all the alien plants that come. In the part of monitoring, I'm sure it will be reported, as the previous speaker said, will be reported this current year because there is that unit that is visible in terms of monitoring. Forestry, on the other side, there is no budget allocation for that, but we only link with the working for water as the lead stakeholder in alien invasion. So we have started by converting some of the water jungles that have been identified. There are specific areas that have been quoted on pages 123 and 124, where the infested area is converted into a manageable stand. So they are converting the nuisance into some assets and also achieving some jobs out of that. That's all that I can share on that. There was also a question about the figures on the fish that includes both inshore and offshore. Thank you, Chairman.
Mr. Hoss?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to add something on the alien plants. We've also noted that for us to be able to deal with the issues in rural areas, we have to come up with a different approach. What we are doing, we've just done a survey on the bankrupt bosses. I hope it should be finished and so it can be costed, because it's quite a big challenge, particularly in the Orange Free State. And also in the west, in the Eastern Cape, we've also noted that Lapisi, especially where there's a food sheep production, is also a big nuisance. Most of the tribal areas have lost, or rural areas have lost land to them. So we intend to have that as a more focused project, because it has got a serious link to production issues rather than just removing alien plants. I just also want to add on something on Ilimalitsima, which was requested. Honourable members, if you could recall 2 or 3 years back, that there was this project was started about 2008. The intention was to provide support, capital support to big irrigation schemes, which is Falhas, Makatini, and Taung. That's how the whole thing was started. Now also to encourage the consumption of vegetables and all those things, the department came up with the Elitsima campaign, of which we're going through every area which is surrounding that area to promote the use of vegetables through vegetable garden around the houses. So that money was provided and was budgeted for the next 4 years, which is going to be reviewed once again. What we are doing there, we in Falhas and Taung, we're reclaiming some of the land and also putting the drainage system so that we can increase the areas of production. At Makatin Fest, same thing, we had seepages which took place, which was not catered for quite a number of years, so we reclaimed those land by putting the drainage by, and also maintenance of the furrows. I think that's what I can say.
Mr. Fenter.
Thank you, DG. Madam Chair, your concerns relating to the underspending in the financial report. I'd just like to inform that in terms of the processes of reporting on the annual report, when the department is presenting its annual report to Parliament in September, then in that hearing, September, October, we will go in detail on the spending, including the spending and all the other information relating to the underspending. So that's why it was not reflected now. But again, in terms of the floods, the team of the disaster risk management in the department with the provinces had done investigations, and the disaster committee has looked at the proposals, and it has been submitted. Proposals for funding has been submitted to National Treasury. There is a probability that in adjustments estimate it may be addressed. But it's now we're waiting for National Treasury. Thank you, Madam Chair. We can also provide a more detailed report on this if the committee so requires.
fishery side that you would like to comment on?
Thank you, Chair, ESG, and members. I just want to say in terms of the reporting of fisheries, fisheries operational site is reported in the Marine Living Resources Fund financials, and their quarterly report is not included because it's an independent public entity. Darren's report will probably reported in September also when we report in terms of our annual report. In the report, all the challenges are highlighted in that report, and also the achievements in terms of performance. The department's annual report only reflects mostly the policy issues, but the operational issues that were indicated in the hearings, for instance, in terms of turnaround times, issues that were raised in terms of assistance being given to fishermen and so on, those things will be addressed in that report. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, all right. Thanks. Regarding the issue of the forensic report on fisheries, I'll have to discuss that with the DG, and you will have to indicate how we deal with that one. And in our response here, we were giving responses to things that we can, you know, but I think there are bigger questions that the committee has asked, which we need to attend to and maybe provide a written report. These relate to the impact of CASP, Ilimalisima, and all such funding instruments, the support that we provide. What impact does that make on the ground? Are we seeing value for money for all those initiatives? And on that one, I believe the committee was saying that they want a full report on that one. All right. The other one, which my interpretation was on the zero hunger strategy. I think the committee indicated that they would want a briefing on that one. There was also the impact, I think, of FMD and avian flu on exports. What impact is that making? And I think maybe again we would need maybe with the MAMC and the department come up with a response that we present to the committee. I'm not sure if other members would maybe.
Yeah, thanks. I think we have listed a number of areas where the detailed report are required, of which includes also the status of the wine distillery in Ventersdorp. We've also listed the 39 co-ops in terms of sustainability. We've listed that one, and also the info on food security policy, the draft itself. That it has also to come together with the zero hunger strategy has to be presented, and we also look at the details in terms of the oversight of the provinces that will come then in the first quarter as indicated, and then we will also go into the details like Mr. Hoboko has indicated on the colleges and on the CITAS. Might present the overall plan of the colleges themselves. We can provide a report. There are reports and also the monitoring of the CITAS. We can provide those reports that are available. So what we will do, we will then confirm in writing these are the reports that will be forthcoming, and then given the status, then the committee can give us a deadline by when these are expected, so that then we can forward them as requested. Thanks.
Thanks, Peter. Over to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Let's start at the bottom there.
You know, Chairperson, the rural man, you know, truly speaking, my pressure is going up and up. Because we are talking about rural area, but I think maybe some, they see a rural area in the paper. Practically, as a baby speaking, my wife, she's in rural area when I'm talking to you now. You know, since 1994, let me say, the apartheid system was forcing our people in rural area to make themselves food, small farming, so. And in the rural different places, there were offices of agriculture there. There were people there who would say it's a maranjara with a khaki uniform to look after our place there, small farming, so. If you are not looking after your cattle, so called Afrikaner, say boss slaves, they're going to arrest you. But since 1994, no and no and no. Why? You know, this thing I'm talking now, if you are not look carefully, you can just think this old man is mad. We are going to face a problem like other countries in Africa, where you see people that came from other countries in Africa, they don't even know themselves to try to make a food themselves. My friend here was talking about business labor. That college was there on time of apartheid. Those people I'm talking about, they were looking after us in the rural area. No more and no why. No more and no more why. If you remember, Chairperson, I'm talking to you now in Sikukuni, the 1.1 million, where there's a chrome mine there. You saw in TV and the radio, they say, the very speaking, they don't want other groups for other province to get their job there in the mine. And you'll see those people, they are more than 800,000. And the mine is just 23 mines there. And those people, all of them, they're just looking there. Nobody teach them to try to make themselves food. Now, I just find out, Chairperson, apartheid, it was completely wrong. But some other administration, it was good. Because now I'm talking to you now, I just find out. My friend, he say the tractor in KwaZulu-Natal, they are in the Makosi, the Hoshi. But I'm coming from Sikukuni. If they can just count, just tell me about one Hoshi, where the agriculture tractors are on that Hoshi in KwaZulu-Natal. But if there's no tractor in Sikukuni, why some other places, Mahoshi, are with the tractor? And I just find out, Chairperson, my problem is that why those days they were trying to force us, we must do ourselves to make our farming, to make ourselves food and rural areas.
Point made, Dada Tolo.
Sorry.
Thank
you very much, Abbas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In fact, I wanted just to make a follow-up on the response that was given with regards to the utilization of the tractors. It's to me, I was just thinking of these tractors being used in preparation land for the next coming season. Because, you know, as they were once utilized, they were only sent to those people who had already prepared their land for utilization. And the rest were left unattended to. If the department, National Department, is not aware, what happened in KZN was the department said all those who wanted to utilize to make use of the tractors in planting their fields, they must fill the forms. So it was sort of an application form that to say I'm willing to be assisted in cultivation. But you know, those people have prepared their fields and the treasures are still standing, waiting to go back to those who have already been assisted. You know, the land has been lying fallow for years. It needs to be prepared before any process of planning could take place. That's my concern was around that, and the question is, why don't they utilize the tractors whilst the season is out for certain crops that are planted in the field? I think maybe, although I might have not put my point forward clearly, but the question is just around that. Mhlawumbe ungilekelela uhlalo ngokuthi angihumshele ngoba mhlawumbe nokugudiza kuba kufushane kimi, kodwa nje thabazele okukhulu. Amasimu zisusiwe iy'hlahla, ahleli awalungiselwe ukuthi abantu bakwazi ukutshala, bakhamisile balenzele ukusizakala. And uma ngabe bethi ukhabazele ogandaganda babekwe ngokwamakhosi, ungakubuka endaweni amakhosi awu-4 kunogandaganda owodwa ufuna ukulimela abantu bamakhosi awu-4. Ngabe yinto elungu engenzeka. Ngizokhuluma ngendawo engisuka kuyona umasipala wasentambanana. Ugandaganda munye kuphela emakhosini awu-4 mangakanani abantu bade kulinyiwe la. Siyabonga nje.
Yebo ke, siyabonga baba Cebekhulu. And bese sibheka loko against what Honorable Ntate Tolo has said that eLimpopo akakhumbuli amakhosi ethole ogandaganda. So sizacela incazelo kuloko ukuthi which provinces actually got those tractors, because Honorable Tolo, with all the hoshes there, he doesn't remember one getting a tractor, if it was the trend that the tractors would be delivered through the chiefs. Thank you. Honorable
Bosman. Thank you, Chair. I want to just also, I think Mr. Peter Kabete has said some of the issues has to be reported back on. One of the issues that I've asked is the Mafisa fund, that we get some more information on how the Mafisa fund is operating, as well as the payback. Let's get a feedback on that. And then also just on my other, not really a question, but the remark on page 10, because page 10, as the Honourable Abrams has said previously, doesn't make sense. If you even only add up the two percentages there, the 43% of export that is other markets than EU, then they say 57% of agricultural export is exported to the EU. Now that alone is 110%. So we must just please rectify that. Sure, as far as another question that I wanted to just maybe get more information is the 4 agricultural colleges that was mentioned. They say that they are operating as centres of rural wealth creation. And I can't really see how are they implementing, what are they doing to operate as wealth creation centres. If they can maybe explain that to us, that will help me a lot. And then again, Honourable Sebakula has touched quite a lot on the tractors, but I think what I want my input is, and I've got fairly good experience of what has happened in Mpumalanga because of the fact that there was fraud involved and maybe an unregular allocation of the contracts and what I mean, and there was a court case about it as well. What they've done now is they've allocate these tractors to service providers, and the service providers must maintain them. They must look after the implements, and they then on request work the land. And I must tell you that with 200 tractors, you can work thousands of agricultural land. You know, if you don't have a mechanism to implement this program correctly, you will find that it is actually a waste of money that is sitting somewhere without the proper use of it. And maybe we should really, before they do a thing like that again, have a proper plan how to manage
those tractors, because you cannot just give a tractor or put a tractor at some point and ask the people to come and pick it up there, maybe, or something like that. But there must be a maintenance contract for at least 3 or 5 years with these tractors, because they can last many years. I mean, our tractors on the farms last for 20 and 30, 50 years. We work with them. So as to properly look after them, because maintenance is one of the most important things, I'm just trying to share this information with you. And because of the fact that it can be misused, I mean, they can sell the tractors, or it can stand there and it can be stripped off at some point. And then it's useless to have those tractors. It's actually just a waste of money.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wish to labor this point of the foot and mouth disease a little bit. The doctor said that, I'm thankful for the answers, but the doctor said that the outbreak cannot be attributed to the fences. But that, and there's scientific proof that it's been internal movement, but that now opens another question, and that is, if it's not the fences, then we must be able to prove there hasn't been any movement. It must be scientifically proven. The other thing is, if it's been internal movement, is it internal movement within that area of KwaZulu-Natal? In other words, it was just slumbering, you know, just under the, you know, yeah, it was just dormant. And if not, can we actually prove that it's not come from a Mpumalanga or one of the other provinces? Because if that is the case, then we're in even deeper trouble. Now, when there was a press statement about it's come through Kruger National Park or from Kruger National Park, we all know that between Kruger National Park and the area in KwaZulu-Natal is Swaziland, and Mozambique on this side, Swaziland there. So, yeah, so and Mpumalanga, your problem, shame. Now, the point is, I'm so glad I'm in the Western Cape, you know, we don't seem to have agricultural problems except rain and wine prices. But the lack of rain. But the point is, if it's come through the Kruger National Park, I remember my maps correctly, it can't come directly through Swaziland has never been mentioned. It must have gotten through Mpumalanga, through private land, you know. So this is now serious, because now it's not only KwaZulu-Natal, now it's Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Northwest, everybody's now at risk. If a statement like that goes out in the press, and people try to pick it up, or they say that, then they can start putting a question mark around other provinces, and it will take much longer to get our status back. So when we say, I respect your point, but as I say, another question comes now up. Is there scientific proof? What is it? And does it exclude the other provinces? And how can we prove this? And this is the type, I think, for people concerned with South Africa, the agricultural concern here. We are concerned, we're all concerned, I believe. That this is the type of thing that we must thrash out. Now, I don't know what prevented, or maybe it's protocol, or maybe the minister said, I don't know. But what prevented the department to send somebody to us and say, look, after 2 or 3 months, this is a progress report. This is what we know now. This is what we don't know yet. I mean, we're not enemies. You know, we've got to work together on this. I would like to believe that the department would say, look, let's go to the committee, make an appointment with them one morning, and tell them what we know, what we don't know. Just get on, hop on a plane, and come here. I mean, that's taxpayers' money well spent, because we can take your hand, you can take our hand, and we know what's going on. So please, you know, that is a serious problem. The other thing I want to touch on is that in the international press, international magazines and international newspapers, there was a report the other day about India's problem and China's problems for feeding their people in the future, and their systems, where it's been successful and where it's bound to fail, and where they have concerns on. Now, we don't address that. I'm getting to a point now. And the other day I read that they said, and that was a report made available in the, I've got to get the report though, a report issued in the United Kingdom that said that governments
are sleepwalking through this developing problem of food security and food prices for future. Now, if they say that, if this international report says that governments, I'm talking about all governments now, I'm talking about high-level developed world, everybody, is sleepwalking through this, aren't we also sleepwalking in South Africa into a major catastrophe? I mean, we see riots now in European countries where the problems endemic or the problems underlying the social structure is much less than what we're facing. I mean, just look at the figures. We're facing a much bigger problem if that explodes. Now, what this report, this strategic plan, and we've got a strategic plan, and we've got alignment, and we've got the organizational performance report. Why I mention this point now, quite away from the discussion, is that in future, this and this, if we don't start with it now, we're not going to solve this problem next year. We're not going to get steps forward. Now, I haven't seen a report in South Africa from the department that says, look, this is the situation in South Africa. I haven't seen a map that says this is where land is underutilized. This is our exploding population that's got to feed. That is including immigrants or migrants. Okay, this is a projection of prices. This is going to how we're going to address these prices. This is where input prices and food prices are going. But this is how we're going to address it. We need to have that analysis. We have to build that into our strategic plan, and we've got to address it on a yearly basis. Because if we don't do this, madam, we're also going to sleepwalk into this problem. And then, you know, fall into a coma, perhaps. So if the department could just, put their minds to it and come up in the next round of strategic planning, come up with the necessary studies and projections for the future on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you know, none of the questions that I asked have been answered. For example, this business of the flood relief is supposed to have been spent during the last quarter. Not a single response. And there are people that are on the verge of bankruptcy. I don't know whether the officials plan to send it to us in writing or whatever the case may be. The Chairperson, I'm disappointed at the responses. They again lack clarity. We don't really get the information that we are seeking. Now I'd like to ask one or two blunt questions. Firstly, Chairperson, since time immemorial, this committee has been asking for full details, a full report on all smallholder, and by the way, what's the difference between a smallholder and a subsistence farmer? Nobody's been able to tell me. It's a question that I asked earlier. But we wanted a detailed report on all smallholder and subsistence farmers who receive development financial services. Mr. Bosman also referred to it. Through Mafisa, CASP, and Ilima Litsima. That report, Chairperson, must include the province, the exact location, and the kind of support, as well as the amount that each farmer or group received. I repeat, we've been asked for this umpteen times, never seen it. No point coming here and telling us here that, you know, so many, this form of assistance and that form of assistance has been given. I want to know how has the taxpayers' money been spent. And I can only get that if I know where it was spent. Not just a bland little statement. Nonsense. Then, Chairperson, with regard to the tractors, I asked a question, very rudely. Why? Why was it that only two provinces got it? Now, we are being told here that we cannot get that response. Why? Why can a parliamentary committee not get that response? Because a ministerial statement was made that every province will be getting mechanization. unless if I'm so deaf that I didn't hear it properly. That's what I remember. And there's a newspaper report where Chief Patekile Holomisa had written a letter to the ministry and copied that particular letter to the president. And the sort of response that Chief Patekile got was that only two provinces were given those tractors. The others could not proceed because the procurement process was compromised. That's what it said in the newspapers. And here we are told they cannot tell us. Now, Chairperson, what is the purpose then of coming to a committee meeting like this, where we are trying to get answers to questions that people ask us and we cannot get the answers? But yet, Chief Patekile Holomisa, by having written letters and having copied it to the president, got some or other response, whether it was good or bad. This whole business of the possibility, not the possibility, it was clearly stated in the newspaper that the process was of acquisition, procurement, was compromised. We want to know why, how, when, where. Because remember, at the end of the day, Parliament is answerable to the taxpayer of this country as to whether we carried out our oversight function properly, yes or no. This is not a mutual admiration society. This is Parliament. We are not here to admire one another what good people we are. We are here to see that the work is done. Then, Chairperson, this memorandum of agreement with the land bank. What does it contain? We haven't seen a copy of that agreement. We don't know what's in it. I would like to know. Because they're talking of the transfer of funds. Transfer of funds to whom? Why? When? How much? For what purpose? And then, Chairperson, a question that I had asked you in the past to which I never got a response. 100 million rand was in the Agri-BEE fund stationed at the land bank when land bank was still under the control of the Ministry of Agriculture. That 100 million rand disappeared. There are at the moment charges against certain individuals to the tune of 14 million rand. What happened to the other 86 million rand? There were several names, lists of names, this project, that project, the mule project, the donkey project, here and there and all over the show. We want to know whether those projects are still on the ground. We want to know it was the department's responsibility to follow on how that money was spent and where that money is at the moment. Are those projects alive or were they just fictitious projects? Tell us so that we at least know. Then, Chairperson, people on the ground approach us on a regular basis with problems. And I have written to the department, enclosing a letter that I received from Mr. Kulu from Pongola regarding a project there. And they also mentioned the names of some officials that came there. They looked at the project and they promised them all sorts of things. They never heard from the department again. And said to say, in 3 weeks, I've also never heard from the department. Now, this is the kind of accountability that we want. Then, Chairperson, the department planned to increase production through targeted research and appropriate technological development. Has the department achieved this? If it has, is there a status report to this effect? And has the department managed to monitor and coordinate new technology uptake in the sector? They must give us full details. If not, the department must give us an explanation. We must know whether these things are happening or not. Chairperson, we must get a copy of this memorandum of agreement with the land bank. We need to know how much money is going to be transferred. What does that agreement entail? Who will be receiving assistance from that money? Then, chairperson, you see, a statement is made here on slide number 6. The target for cash was exceeded by 194%. Although this question has already been asked and not adequately responded to, and there's a promise that we'll get it in writing, I want to reiterate, Chair. It is not how much money you have expended. It is what has happened to that money. Whether the people have truly benefited out of their money, yes or no. We also asked you earlier, did Ilima Letsima money get to the people in March, for example, when it has no purpose to serve? We haven't got a response to that. So that is why, Chairperson, I'm now asking that we need to know exactly when was assistance rendered, to whom was it rendered, where are those people. We need that information. Because without that, Chairperson, we can't hold the department to account. And I must honestly say, Chairperson, that this kind of document where you don't really get any real assistance with facts and figures gives us a major problem. I'll leave my case at that, Chairperson. But on slide number 13, they talk here about research solution on wheat production and cultivar were completed and distributed to 6,000 producers. I would like to know what solution was this. That's some solution that you make that you can put into the ground and wheat will grow. What solution was this? And what sort of cultivar was born out of this solution? And it was distributed to 6,000 producers. Tell us, how did those producers benefit out of it? We want to know whether there was any benefit that accrued to them. And then, Chairperson, these two feedlot facilities were established at Bloberg Local Municipality and Eastern Cape. Tell us exactly what is happening at those feedlots. How many weaners have they actually fattened in those feedlots since this facility was created? What did the facility cost us, for example? I don't know, Chairperson, if you were with us when we went to Rimfastmark. When we went to Rimfastmark, I saw cattle pens that were built there. One person gave us a figure that it cost R500,000 to put them up. Again, later, when we were asked in-depth questions, it was R850,000. And I'm a stupid cattle farmer. I would never, never, never pay R850,000 for the cattle pens that I saw there, cattle and goat pens that I saw at Rimfastmark. This is how our money, Chairperson, is not reaching the destination that it should. And my job as a member of parliament is to see that every cent that the fiscus appropriates is properly spent. We can't get that kind of information with just something like this. Yes, we built the two feedlots in Eastern Cape and Limpopo. What is the benefit to the community? Has the community benefited out of it? Tell us that. Tell us exactly what you've done. These cultivars, tell us, how has it benefited the community? Are we going to produce more wheat as a result of that? These are the sort of facts that we require. And with all due respects, if the Treasury merely wants from you something like this, that is Treasury's business. What we want is we want information. We want to be able to measure the expenditure, the money that has been made available, against the outcomes on the ground. That is what we want. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, through to you. I just want to correct something, Chairperson. Through to you. You know, I was looking at my watch. Some honorable member the chairperson gives them 15 minutes. But I was just talking 4 minutes, chairperson was stopping me. I think we must look that into it. I was looking at my watch, you know, to say that if we agree to say certain somebody must talk two or three, that we can do it. But if some talk, so 5 minutes, 4 minutes, some 15 minutes, the chairperson just keep quiet. I think that, according to me, it's not that we must look into that kind of things. I respect your ruling, but it's very important also we must be equal. If we are not equal, I think we are going to see it's not right. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Ke kopa tshwarelo ntate. Ka nnete mo go nna, you are all equal. Thank you. Chairperson, thank you and apology. I came late because of the confusion I was having with myself. But anyway, I have arrived. Chairperson, the first thing which I want to remind the department, we are still waiting for a Ngeha Farms forensic report. We are still waiting for that. We did not forget about it. We are still waiting for that. We need it because it's this committee who asked it. So, and they kept on saying this report is with the minister. We want it as the committee. Chairperson, I'm coming again on tractors. Honorable Abrams has already said that we ask in this committee, we ask the department, when will other provinces get them? We were promised that other provinces will follow. These tractors will follow. But now it seems as if nothing is happening to these other seven provinces. And if department has able to distribute 85 tractors, I don't know if it's all in all to Mpumalanga and KZN. Surely they have to distribute those sectors to the following or remaining provinces. That is the province the department must do. They have started. Let them finish what they have started. They cannot give only two. And the way, as I'm listening, in KZN, the tractors were received by the Makosis. In Mpumalanga, the tractors were received by a municipality. I think a certain municipality, not all municipalities, a certain municipality. I think it is the duty for the department to follow up. Even that must not be their baby, as whether KZN they've made another plans to bring more tractors. But what they should do is to follow up their own tractors. What are they doing there? And again, I want to go to the agricultural colleges. They are 12 in number. I'm not sure as whether all of them, the 12 of them, as we are speaking, seated here, they are functioning. The Limpopo ones, I know them, even where they are, I know them. But I don't know about other provinces. But what I want to find out is whether they are functioning as we are seated here. Because somewhere they said the department is planning for four agricultural colleges to operate as centers of rural wealth creation. I'm not sure in which provinces, which four of those of 12 we must know where are these four cultural colleges in which provinces. And another thing is alien plants.
It's a pity you came late.
Okay.
The question of alien plants, the one that was just asked about the skills training and colleges, it was already responded.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. The time now is 11:45. I shall ask the to
Thank you, Chair. The first part of the questions were follow-up questions on FMD, the support to rural communities, as well as the utilization of tractors. And I think the sense that we got, what the committee was saying regarding tractors, was that we need to follow up on how those tractors are utilized and so on and so on. Could I ask Dr. Modisane to respond on the follow-up questions around FMD, and then Mr. Khoboge on the training colleges, particularly around the centers of wealth creation, and Dr. Mkiza or Mr. Hawes, if you can, on the issues related to tractors and mechanization. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member, for that question, and I'm very happy you raised it in that particular way. The only science that we have up to so far is we know the virus that was isolated in the Buffalo, in the Ndumo Game Park, and we know the virus that was isolated in the cattle that were transported to Karan Beef. The one in Buffalo is related to an outbreak in Limpopo in 2003. The other one in cattle is related to a virus that was diagnosed like again in Limpopo around the Kruger National Park. Those two viruses have not been seen anywhere else. They have not been diagnosed in Mpumalanga up to so far in terms of the type, and no other country has diagnosed it, including Mozambique. That is the only science that we have up to so far. We cannot say how the animals went or how the virus went to Ingwavuma right now, Northern KwaZulu-Natal. We cannot say how it went there. We are only speculating that there could have been movement of buffaloes, because there's a lot of buffaloes in that area, or there could have been movement of goats, and you are right. So I agree with you that the concern is we don't know where the virus is. It could be anywhere, including the Western Cape, I'm sorry. Therefore, the only science, we have to prove scientifically that the disease is nowhere. And that is why we have to do a countrywide surveillance. And maybe that will make sense as to why the whole country is suspended for export, because fact is we don't know where the virus is, we don't know how it got there. So it will take long for us to prove that we don't have the virus anywhere else. So I agree with your concerns, and that is our position from the department. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In terms of the question asked by the Honorable Member in terms of I think it's Honorable Bosman, in terms of wealth creation, I've indicated before, Honorable Chair, when I responded to this question, to indicate that we would like these colleges to contribute towards
rural development. And the only way they can do so is when they incorporate into their curricular skills training programs focusing on rural development, you know, projects, providing members of those rural communities with relevant skills in terms of, you know, how to be entrepreneurs, how to generate income for themselves, you know, all those related training programs. So the only way that these colleges can contribute to that is when they incorporate in their curricula those type of training programs. And I've indicated that thus far, in terms of this, we've got those three colleges, which we can say at this stage they are forerunners. It is Elsenburg in the Western Cape, it is Sidara in KZN, and it is also Grootfontein Agricultural Development, which is a little bit in the Eastern Cape, on the border Eastern Cape and Northern Cape. Those are the three. And I have said, Honorable Chair, that we are working with these colleges to try. The other Honorable Member asked if all of them are functioning. Yes, all of them are functioning. They are operational. But we are working very, very hard, Chair, to make sure that their curricula is relevant to the needs. First of all, the human resource development needs of the areas where they are located physically. And then they can then address the human resource development needs of other areas in the country. So that is what is happening with this country. Thanks.
Thank you, DJ. Maybe I will just also give a brief answer to the Honorable Member, Mr. Abrams, in terms of the tracking. Yes, indeed, there was a compromise on the... And that's why it's still on hold, because the department has been trying to address that. And I've been assured that immediately one province, unfortunately, is going to be the province, if you, the Honorable Member said, or Honorable Patekile wrote. I know that probably it will be getting the tractors very soon. But it's a program which is going to come. And also to qualify the statement, yes, it's going to be 85 hectares, tractors per province. 85 tractors per province. And it's going to be happening very soon. As soon as the loopholes which were found have been closed, then it will. Also, we have noted also the type of the format of the report you would like to, especially in terms of expenditure and the outcomes. And then probably on the next report, then we will be trying to address those. And we will also be giving the copies of the MOU between the land bank and us, the department. But also to assure also why also perhaps that MOU had to happen is because also of what also the Honorable Member alluded to at the beginning, that there were some also compromise, and then we had to do that, legally we had to do that MOU so that it can be tightened together the way with the fund and the bank operates. Thanks.
Maybe I should also add and say the challenge we have with the reporting is that the format is prescribed, so we have to follow that format. And at the same time, we need to balance the format with the needs of the committee. For example, Honorable Member Abrams has indicated in a number of areas that he would like to have more information. We have noted those
it's the issue I'm putting forward here is it gets a bit of a becomes a bit of a challenge for us to bring all the documentation to a meeting of the committee, but we appreciate that there has been indications that we want more information on these and these areas, and then that we're going to provide to the committee. Okay, thank you. I don't know whether Peter want to add something. Okay, that's fine.
Before that, Honorable Dudosh.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to know from the department if they would be willing to consider what I've mentioned about the long-term strategy. I'm not talking about the strategy for 5 years. I'm talking about the 30-year strategy. Because according to all indicators, the world population is now at 7 billion. It's going to be, by 2040, 2050, it's going to be, actually 2045, it's going to be 9 billion. Of the extra 2 billion that will come on top of the 7 billion, percentage-wise it's quite big, you know, about 1 billion will be outside sub-Sahara Africa, mainly Asia. That would be, it's a big concern to China and especially India, according to the demographic projections. But the big problem is that sub-Sahara Africa will see an increase of 1 billion people. That is internationally accepted as, I can't say fact, but as a projection. So we in South Africa, the gateway to Africa and all the other things that goes with us, we must have a strategy that will address this. We must have it. I mean, 1 billion people on our doorsteps, sub-Sahara Africa in the next 30 years, is going to be a really, really big challenge. It can make us float or it can make us sink. So I want just now to know if the gentleman here would consider a long-term strategy for South Africa, and if we can start to see the work being done from now on until next year when we have another budget meeting, we can start seeing the results of that vision. Please.
Oh, maybe before Peter responds, Dada Abraham, we want to be short now.
No. Chair, the many other questions that have been put on the table have not been responded to. I hope that we will get written responses. Finally, Chair, I'm glad that this issue about the wrongdoing regarding the procurement process has now been confirmed. I would like a report about the extent of the wrongdoing, whether we as government lost any money, and what was the import of the wrongdoing. Because you see, Chair, a statement was made that all 9 provinces will be getting territories. 2 provinces get them, and the other 7 provinces, boom, they just shut out. Nobody tells the people why, what, when, how. I think the biggest mistake we are making as government is we don't take our people into our confidence. If there was a statement saying that this thing is compromised, we have stopped the procurement process, there wouldn't be all these questions. So I'm asking, Chairperson, that they give us a full report on what exactly happened that went wrong, that the other provinces could not get the tractors because of wrongdoing, and whether we have as a government lost any money, and what sort of measures have been put in place to see that there is no recurrence of this kind of thing. And most important, who were the parties that were asked to procure these tractors? Thank you.
Before Peter replies, I think the questions that were asked by Baba Abraham, Honorable Member, on smallholder and subsistence farmers were not responded to.
Thank you, Chair, and the members. To respond on the long term strategy that the member Du Toit was talking to. You remember when we presented the plan on the outcomes. Is that currently there is a commission that is finalizing its report. They have given a very interesting date of 11-11-11. Now the planning commission, what the planning commission will be releasing on this date. They have done what they call a diagnosis of each department. We were saying yesterday, it's like taking the blood samples and checking what is wrong, what are the sickness that you have in each of these departments. So they're going to be presenting this report. It is a long-term vision. They call it a 2030 vision for the country. Now, beyond November, then they're going to begin to interact with each department for this, what we call a long-term plan. Looking at the vision 2020 that the entire country is going to have. So these diagnoses that they are currently doing, they are not consulting. They are taking the blood samples and looking at them and telling us this is what you are sick of and that is what you are sick of. And then beyond this report, it will be then sitting and doing a long-term plan with each department for implementation purpose. So we're looking at that to say this is what is going to help us to deal with issues of research, to deal with issues of production, to deal with issues of marketing locally and internationally. So that then, together with that, we will develop what we call a country investment plan. Then that investment plan is the one that will begin to say, this is how we're going to concentrate the funding, then this is how we're going to look for additional funding in terms of that plan. That plan also look at what we've been talking about, calling the Maputo Declaration, the allocation of equal resources. So we're working at that also to include it into that particular plan as it has been worked out. Together with that, we'll also include all the other plans. You'll know that we've got a CADA plan. We've also developed a number of other plans. So those will have to be pulled together and say, what are all these plans saying in terms of research, in terms of production, in terms of zero hunger and so on, so that you develop a long-term vision for the department that talks to the long-term vision of the country. So that is the work that will start immediately after 11-11-11, once the Planning Commission report has been presented, so that all plans get synchronized to the Planning sort of Commission, so that you have one country plan that talks to each other and so on. So those are the things that I wanted to explain in terms of that. So there is already a plan moving to that direction. And also talking to the to the categories of farmers. I think it was in the strategic plan in the beginning of the year that we are reporting on, where we clarified the three categories of farming. It was the subsistence farming, it was the smallholder farming, and it was the commercial farming. Those are the three categories. We are no longer talking about the emerging farmers, because the problem with the emerging farmers was how long will they be emerging? Because you cannot have a baby 15 years down the line is still emerging. This baby must be a 15 years, the baby cannot still be emerging. He must become an adult sometime. So that's why we are categorizing three farmers. Your subsistence, those are the beneficiaries of your food security mostly. That's where the Ilimalizima program is targeting them. That's what the tractor program is targeting them. And it spills over to your land reform beneficiaries. So that is your subsistence. And then you have your smallholder farmers, and that's where your CASP and your MAFISA is actually targeting, to say these ones can be assisted to graduate to the commercial sector and so on, with correct support and packaging of programs, with correct capacity building provided to them, and so on. So those are the three categories that we're targeting, and we're no longer talking to the emerging sector. Thank you.
Thank you, DDG. Are there any questions?
Can I ask a question outside of this? I've got an issue that I need to maybe raise with the department, which I was asked to raise, and it concerns the compulsory grapefruit marketing levy. It is a levy that is marketed, that is levied on export of grapefruit to all the countries of the world. But the levy is actually only applicable to two countries, and that is Japan and Britain. So what in actual fact happens in practice is that all the exporters has to pay the levy to the export agent. And then claim back the levy when it's not exported to Japan and Britain. Now, in practice, it boils down to that only a third of the grapefruit is exported to those two countries. And it means that about 9 million, no, 9, where is it? 9 million rand in admin cost is levied, of which the agents keeps 1% back. And then the it's up to the exporter to claim it back. Now the question and the request is that we should ask the department to maybe again look at this compulsory levy for all citrus that is exported, not all citrus but grapefruit, so that it can be changed that only those exported to Britain and Japan be levied. I mean, it's a very simple fact. But now it boils down that the people are losing a lot of money, because the 1% of the agent fee is deducted in any case. You can't claim it back. If I could just put on the table, I've got a letter here that explains it in detail. If I can if the department is willing to look at it, because it's a letter that was written already in January to the minister as well as the National Agricultural Marketing Council, and they do not get any response back from the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I think my question, the department didn't answer the question.
Thank you.
Chairperson.
Could
you please repeat your question,
Babu Tor? Thanks, Comrade Chairperson. I would say, and those days, member of agriculture wearing uniform, khaki uniform, and rural area, to encouraging us to go to farm. You know, those kind of points. And another Chairperson, because I would say, where I came from is Kukuni. I don't remember one koshi, the one with the tractors. Now, I would just say, if they can just appoint one koshi, then I can go there and make sure that tractor is there. Thanks a lot.
Honorable
Abraham.
Chairperson, I just want to leave two or three ideas on the table. Firstly, I think it is very important for the Department of Agriculture that in promoting our people into farming, whether they are smallholder or subsistence or whatever, one should actually look at those commodities that we are busy importing and find ways and means of promoting activity so that we can become lesser dependent on imports. The point raised by Mr. De Toy is a very, very important one. That I hope that on 11-11-11 we will probably see that report. But it is important that we plan ahead. The population is increasing. Climate change is on the horizon. For example, many people in the summer rainfall areas will tell you that they will not be seeing the sort of crop that they had estimated to see because of too much rain. Your plants drown, and unfortunately you don't get the production that you anticipated. The other issue that we need to look at very seriously, Chairperson, is in promoting our people. You must look at the sort of commodities, as I say, that we are importing, but commodities which can be grown in areas where our rainfall is not what it should be, the land is not suitable for cultivation, and there I think Dr. Morisane may probably agree with me. We need to look at livestock farming. It is one of the easiest ways, to my mind, of getting people empowered. Now we should concentrate a bit more on that, because we are importing in any case 50,000 tons of beef per annum. And we're also becoming an importer of now mutton, because in many parts of the country, sheep has become a takeaway. I mean, I know of a particular corridor which at one stage had a population of about 120,000 sheep. There's nothing left now, because that corridor, people would actually come there and pick up 200-300 sheep per night. Farmers would face ruin and bankruptcy. And gone are the days when you could still buy a sheep for 300-400 rand. Today, a good breeding ewe, you're talking of 1200-1600 rand for a good ewe to breed with. But it is something that can be done if we are prepared to look at areas where there could be proper control. The farmers themselves must be prepared to sometimes, you know, run shifts and, you know, have some sleepless nights remaining awake. Otherwise, Chairperson, we will soon become a country that will be reliant for food on imports. We need to look at ways and means in which we can grow the bulk of our requirements as far as is possible. This business of relying on cheap wheat imports, for example, is a double-edged sword. Very soon, Chairperson, no country loves you. They love your money. If the time comes and the chips are down, those people that we consider to be trading partners today will sell their wares to the highest bidder elsewhere. So we've got to see that we look at those issues. We don't have to wait for the 11-11-11 report to do that. These sort of things can be promoted now already. It can be done. The word impossible belongs in the dictionary of fools. Things are possible, Chairperson, and we need to have a long-term view as to how we are on the one hand going to sustain the production of food and on the other hand also promote our people into this particular industry. Finally, it is said that we are net importers of, I think, about 1.2 billion rand worth of chicken per annum. And chicken, as you are aware, is the cheapest form of protein that our people can afford. You can't go and pay 60-70 rand a kilo for beef as a poor family. But you can go and buy a 2-kilogram dry pack for 30 rand, for argument's sake, at Pick and Pay or ShopRite Checkers or somewhere. So we also need to look at that particular industry, but not on the scale on which we have been doing it in various parts of our country. Where, for example, when we were in Limpopo, 10 of our mothers come together and then they wait for the Food and Agriculture Organization to give them 300 chickens. That is not the way to go. We need to, the department needs to play a leading role in helping to assist with creating the necessary marketing channels and do things in a larger, sustainable way. Anybody that says that our people can't do it needs their heads to be read. Given the opportunity, given the training, our people can actually come up to market. And we need to look at that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I just need to get clarity on, because now it seems that this there is some confusion. The expenditure report that DDG, Mr. Fender, was referring to, when must we expect that report?
In terms of the PFMA, the department had to submit by 30 September its annual report to Parliament. That will include the normal annual report, including performance and the financials, and the audit report. The audit report is due on the 31st of July. Now, all these will now be included in the annual report, and the annual report will be submitted towards the end of September. And then normally in October, the department is going to come to the committee and do a presentation on its annual report for this financial year that has just passed, the 2010-11 financial year. So then we will come, as part of that reporting will also come with a full report on the expenditure for 11-12. That was practiced in the past also, Jay.
Find out more, because I had an understanding that as you come quarterly, we need to get the reports of the performance against the expenditure. Yes.
Yes. Today, but I also added the column for the total year because it was the last quarter. But it was because it was the last quarter. But we have done that in terms of our reporting now. It's quarter per quarter per quarter.
And except that it wasn't in details, as I indicated.
That will come with the annual report.
But will that assist us as we are now busy preparing for this budget review and recommendations report if we wait until September, October?
The figures won't change. The figures is already included in the financial statements that in terms of PFMA had to be submitted to the Auditor General for auditing. And that process is underway at the moment. So the figures is final. The figures have been reported on this morning is final.
Chairperson, the principle of having a quarterly report is extremely important because that will show us some trends. However, I must say, which I didn't say earlier, and that is that if you look at the expenditure trends for the last financial year, and you find that, you know, there is a sort of a lull in the first quarter or two or three, and suddenly the last quarter, you push up expenditure. So the expenditure is not evenly spread. But all right, I understand that, you know, it was certain leases and certain agreements for which payment had to be made at a certain time. What would happen now, Chairperson, is that when the annual report is presented, we will have the financials for the year that's under review, and that would be 2010-2011. That's what will come before us. But Chairperson, before I speak for the last time this morning, will the officials tell us the various issues over which they are going to send us reports? Can we have a date? By which date will we get those reports? Definitely not when they come for the next quarterly report, Chair. It'll be far before that.
Thanks, Chair, and the members. Before Mr. Mashaba finalizes the date, I just want to indicate on the issue of the levy. We will work very closely with the NAMC on this one, so that we finalize. I think we are aware of the issue, but there was a report that the NAMC was working on, and then we'll be able to respond on this issue of the levy. But what we may do on it is to put more momentum so that it can be finalized very quick. We will make a quick follow-up on that one. And then the one other issue that was said was the issue of extension officers. Mr. Hoboko can assist us on how the extension program of revitalization will begin to assist on this program. Because what we are doing currently is that we were implementing whilst we were planning, and this current year we'll be able to show the difference, because we are not planning and implementing at the same time. What we have been planning, it's gonna be now reflected, for an example, in this first quarter report, because we are done with the planning now. We are focused. The structure is completed. We should be able to focus to deal with these issues as they are on the strategic plan. And the issue of the extension recovery plan is coming out very, very, very clear in terms of capacity building, in terms of all those things that will then assist us.
Honorable Chair, just to add to what Mr. Tabet has just said, and as a response to the Honorable Member, we do have extension officers who are supposed to assist farmers. But the department detected some few years ago that the service is still weak in a number of areas. One of the areas, for example, is on the number of extension officers who service a certain number of farmers. I'm talking about extension to farmer ratios. We find that one extension officer is expected to service more than 800 farmers, which is really not good and not effective. And the department implemented the extension recovery plan, as in the words of Mr. Tabete. One of the areas was to recruit more extension officers to increase the numbers on the ground. But the other area where we found a weakness with this with the service was that even those extension officers who were in the service were not that skilled enough. They were not motivated, they were not skilled, and so forth. And the extension recovery plan has come up with a program which is aimed at capacitating them in terms of their skills, you know, to provide them with short training skills programs like project management, like communication, all these things. And but probably, in the words of Mr. Tabete, that there has been a time of planning. It is now time of implementation. One can also attest to this by saying that we have also since introduced the state-of-the-art ITC instrument for extension officers to assist them, because extension officers are supposed to be reservoirs of appropriate information needed by the farmer. But if the extension officer is not IT literate and does not have the necessary ITC gadgets, you know, to source information, that becomes a problem.
And we have since introduced the extension suit online system, which is an internet facility where extension officers can use their cell phones or 3G cards to log onto the system, the main server, and access appropriate information while on the farm, you know, while on the farm with the farmer. So this thing of saying I will come after 2 weeks or I'll come after 3 weeks to bring the answer is a thing of the past. We now expect each extension officer to be able to access the system there and there on the farm to respond to the question of the farmer on any subject related to production or whatever enterprise that the farmer is engaged in. So these are some of the things that are happening at the moment, Honorable Member. But I think your question was more to say you don't see these people. Yeah, it is a possibility. Probably one should alert the Limpopo Provincial Department of Agriculture. I've got to have your details where you come from and indicate that, you know, there is a complaint that these extension officers are not visible in that area, so that they can begin to give special attention to that area. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Just
one thing, Chair, especially maybe perhaps to answer the, well, not to answer, but just to give some light to also the Honorable Member was asking about which Hoshi can he go to get tracked at Limpopo. Unfortunately, in Limpopo is one of the provinces which are still in waiting. But also one thing maybe perhaps also which we need to distribute to the Honorable Members, because we have done it with the IDCA, which is the Intergovernmental Technical Committee on Agriculture. We have distributed the mechanization strategy, which is the strategy which also includes how those tractors are administered and supervised. Probably also that's one of the things also we need to distribute to the Honorable Members as they come.
Yeah, thanks.
Dr. Mashaba.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. And thanks, Honorable Members. I think I'm being asked to indicate the date when we'll submit all the answers in all the issues that we have been raised by Honorable Members. But firstly, you know, the one who's responsible to submit this report to the committees, I think, you know, I have to acknowledge the, you know, our failure to deliver on time and also, you know, apologize to the Honorable Members for making their work very difficult. Since we have, you know, submitted the report on Thursday to a secretary, on Wednesday to a secretary, but couldn't get to the members because they've already left. I think, you know, I have to fully take the responsibility for that. And secondly, also, I think, you know, the quality of our presentation, you know, I fully agree with the members. I think we can improve the department. And all these wise ideas that you are giving to us is not criticism. It's just to tell us that this is a department. And, you know, the quality of the information that we generate as the department helps to represent government, you know, overall. So, you know, I think we're going to work on that and ensure that next time when we appear here, you know, the Honorable Members are very happy about the quality of the information that will be given to ourselves. So I would like to propose a date, Chair, for the 8th of July, as a date that we'll be able to submit all the information that has been requested. Thank you. 8th of July. 8th of July. Yeah. 8th of July.
In writing,
yes. It's about 3 weeks from now.
In the absence of hands and looking at the time, I assume that all the questions were exhausted, except for Mr. Fender. I want to say something concerning those details, because we want this commitment.
thank you for this opportunity. I must say that I've got a clearer picture of what the committee requires in terms of the quarterly spending. It was not clear to us what is it. This is new. This is the first financial year that we report on a quarterly basis. So from this, we will improve on our reports by indicating the differences measured against the 25% benchmark and also provide a slide for that quarter what is the situation. So the annual one will come, but on the quarterly one, we will improve. And on your request for this particular quarter, we will provide in writing the explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Fender. I want to take this opportunity to thank the department for coming to us and do this for the first time, like Mr. Fender is acknowledging. I think, and I'm convinced that this meeting was a very fruitful meeting, and we're looking forward to have such engagements where honesty and the commitment will be the order of the day. So I really thank the department sincerely. Thank the members for making this meeting a very meaningful and profitable one. On that note, I hope all the mistakes that have been highlighted, including the quality of the report, the government report presented to the portfolio committee, and all the delays in providing the committee with the answers. Some were urgent, but time went by, 6 months down the line, nothing came forth, including the reports that the questions that committee members ask, and there are no response from the department. I think all this will be corrected. And together, I'm still convinced that we will make it. We'll make a better South Africa, which will benefit those people who need the assistance from the government. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.